Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Bossy's up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello and welcome to this midweek edition of The Punt Premier League action. Coming up this week, we've got four games from Tuesday through to Thursday. John Gibby here in the company of Dave Cowan are going to be taking a look at those matches. Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Mr. Gibby. I'm looking forward to the Premier League. It's good to have Premier League midweek matches, and even though the team that I support, Manchester United, you can tell by the accent, they were beaten by West Brom at the weekend, they'll be looking to bounce back against Bournemouth in a game we're going to preview very shortly. But congratulations, of course, to Manchester City, who sealed their Premier League title with Manchester United defeat.
Yeah. Wasn't really them who did the sealing, was it, Dave?
It wasn't, but they've been by far and away the best team in the league this season. They're 16 points clear at the top. They might win the title by 20-plus points come the end of the campaign. So even though it was down to Manchester United's failings, ultimately, Manchester City more than deserving winners. They've been sensational throughout the course of the season.
Now, it's worth putting in a mention, we have, as usual in the Premier League, got Monday Night Football as West Ham take on Stoke. But that match was previewed on the weekend edition of The Punt, so you can listen back to that if you're listening on Monday and you'd like to get the tips ahead of that game. We're going to start off by taking a look at the match coming up on Tuesday as Brighton host Tottenham Hotspur and taking a look at the prices for this one. Brighton, the home side, no surprise to see they're 6-1, a big outsiders for this. The draw 100-30 and Tottenham at 1-2. Odds on the visitors. We've also got a few enhanced odds for this one on the William Hill website as well. If you think Spurs can come out and dominate this one, them to win by three or more goals, for example, that was 100-30, been enhanced to 4-1 on the William Hill website. There's a few others as well, one involving Harry Kane, for example, that's sure to be popular. And Dave, in this match, Spurs, you'd like to think they've pretty much secured the Champions League place over Chelsea, but they're definitely going to want to push for the points here against an out-of-sorts Brighton.
Yeah, and they've got good away form on the whole as well, John. You look at how Mauricio Pochettino's side have performed on the road in the Premier League this season. They've won 10, drawn 3 and lost 4. Only Manchester City have picked up more points away from home this season. They've got 33 points, Tottenham away from Wembley. I think those deficiencies still shone through in that weekend performance against Manchester City as well. I think that game showed in many ways that Spurs still have a major gap to bridge in terms of challenging for the title, and that's what will be expected next season. I think the fans will expect Spurs to get closer to Manchester City, but Pochettino played a high line against Manchester City. That didn't work out at all. City exposed that, and I think the decision to go with Eric Lamella instead of Heung-Min Son wasn't vindicated either. And Heung-Min Son, I think, will come back into the starting lineup, and even though he's gone through a dry spell recently, I look at this time of the season for players that maybe have just been on the fringes or have been dropped out of the starting lineup. They are the ones with the desire to go forward in the last five or six games. And Heung-Min Son, I think, might score in this game. He's 13-10 to score any time. You look through the games that he's played and the teams that he's scored against. His last couple of goals have come against Bournemouth and against Huddersfield, teams of similar ilk to Brighton. So I think Heung-Min Son at 13-10 to score any time could be the player here. And since the start of 2014-2015, Harry Kane has scored 22 goals in 20 games against newly promoted sides, which is just ridiculous. And he's also scored a hat-trick against one of them in each of the three previous seasons. Got a hat-trick against Leicester in 2014-15, against Bournemouth in 15-16, and against Hull last season. Harry Kane is 11-1 to get a hat-trick in this game. He's chasing the golden boot, so again, he's got incentive to perform here. Even though Mohamed Salah's moved on to 30 goals in the Premier League campaign now, Harry Kane, I think, will still believe that he can grasp that golden boot, even though it was obviously comical, the goal that he claimed the other day, and how insistent that it brushed off his shoulder and gone into the net. So
it's got a bit of a cult following now, that goal, hasn't it?
It has, it really has. And there's been many a meme about Harry Kane post that. But Kane will want to get on the score sheet here. So I can see Kane and Heung-Min Son both netting, and I think Spurs will win this game. I mean, they've won their last 16 matches against newly promoted sides now. I don't expect that to change, despite the humbling at the weekend against Manchester City. Brighton have got a reasonable home record this season. They've only lost 4 games at home, but their defeats have been against Big Six opposition. Brighton have actually played 6 games against teams inside the top 5 this season. They've lost all of them and scored just once in the process. And since that win in early March, it's been pretty much downhill for Chris Hughton's men. And Spurs should be able to put more distance between themselves and Chelsea. So I think the Spurs will win this game. I expect Spurs to win the game 2-0, which is available at 6-4. And I'm looking at Harry Kane and Heung-Min Son to both get on the score sheet. So if you can get a goal scorers doubled there, I'd look at those two both to score in the game. And I do like Heung-Min Son most of all at 13-10 to get at least one in the match.
You mentioned that stat against that Spurs against newly promoted opposition. It does seem that Tottenham are one of those sides in the top 6 who the reason they're there is because they are able to come out and dominate against the teams that are lower in the table. Whereas you look at teams like Arsenal or Manchester United, for example, quite often they get the results against the more competitive teams, and then they you know, flop against the teams pushing to avoid relegation.
I think that's one of the biggest failings from Spurs over the course of the last 2 seasons. They've not been able to produce against the absolute cream of the crop. And those are the games you need to perform in, because not only are you gaining points, you're taking points off the teams closest to you in the league as well. And that's something that Pochettino will have to remedy going into next season. And they were badly exposed, I thought, against City at the weekend. I think tactically Pochettino got it wrong. He played such a high line, and City exposed that by getting in behind. Even Vincent Kompany was allowed to play the ball over the top and create a one-on-one situation at the back for Spurs, and that's not good. And I expect Spurs to bounce back in this game, but that's a failing that Pochettino will have to work out in the summer.
That's the first of this week's Premier League games, or the ones we're looking at on the podcast today, as Brighton host Tottenham. Dave Counter expecting Spurs to come out and dominate that one. On Wednesday, we've also got a game, Bournemouth hosting Manchester United, of course, looking to bounce back from their disappointment on the weekend, Manu, when losing to West Brom and handing Manchester City the Premier League title on a silver platter. The outright betting for this one, Bournemouth 19-5. The draw is 14-5. And Manchester United are the odds-on favourites again here. They are 3-4, or 4-3 on if you prefer. The enhanced odds on this one, again, there's a whole array which you can look at on the website, williamhill.com. Manchester United to win by 3 or more goals if you think it's going to be a hammering. It's 6-1, that out from 5-1, the enhanced odds on the website. And even though Bournemouth... strange team, Bournemouth. One moment people were talking about them for potential relegation, then I blinked and then they were mid-table. Can Manchester United bounce back against them here?
I'd expect so. Even though I wouldn't want to back them at such a prohibitive price here, I'd expect them to perform with slightly more verve and vigour than they did against West Brom. But 3-4 does look a very, very short price to me. Bournemouth are a strange side. They might feel relieved to get this home game against Manchester United, having been ripped apart by that Liverpool front three on Saturday. I think we're guaranteed goals in this match. Just the way that Bournemouth set up, under Eddie Howe means they are very susceptible, I think, defensively, Bournemouth. So I'd expect goals in the game. The thing with Mourinho, though, Jose Mourinho, it's always someone else's fault, isn't it? The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was that was convincing the world he didn't exist. The greatest trick Mourinho's got is that when things go right, it's his tactical nous and brilliance. But when things go wrong, it's all about the players and their deficiencies. So some of Mourinho's quotes after that defeat against West Brom suggesting that he's not to blame because he's not out there and playing the game, but he knows how to win.
Why have a manager then?
Yeah, precisely. Why have a manager? And he was saying that he could smell that performance coming with the way his players had performed on the training pitch after the game against Manchester City and prior to the performance against West Brom. Isn't that his job to get these players up for the fight, even in the closing stages of the season when they can't possibly win the title, to seal that second spot? And that's something that he's talked about for the last 4 or 5 weeks, the importance of grabbing second behind Manchester City in the league. And I think one of his biggest... If I was going to critique Mourinho this season, I think one of his biggest failures has been his inability to get performances from his marquee players. Since Alexis Sanchez came in the winter break, or not the winter break, the winter transfer window.
No winter break yet, Dave.
No winter break yet. In that transfer window, Sanchez has performed abysmally on the whole. And Paul Pogba, who was withdrawn after 57 minutes at the weekend, has been lackluster in his performances for the majority of the season.
Has his moments, doesn't he?
Had that wonderful half against Manchester City where he scored twice. But some Manchester United fans were suggesting that they just went out in that second half and ignored Mourinho's instruction entirely. And that's why Pogba played further up the field and was able to influence that game. But if Mourinho noticed that deterioration in effort since the win against Manchester City, it's his job to remedy that. And he's not done that. So there's a lot for Manchester United to solve in the summer, and I'd expect Bournemouth to score in this game. There's one stat that I do like in the match. If you're looking for something like highest scoring half here, it's something that Derek McGovern referenced on the Pomp podcast at the weekend, but I think for the second half to be the highest scoring would definitely be something that I'd have a look at. I'm just trying to locate that market on the William Hill website at the moment. I don't think we've got it out yet, but it should be out there come game time. 11 of Bournemouth's last 12 home goals in the Premier League have all come in the second half, and Manchester United's last 10 away Premier League goals have come after half-time as well. So I'd be looking at this game starting slowly and maybe coming to the boil in inverted commas in the second half. So I'll go for the highest scoring half to be the second half, which will be something around about even money or 5-4, something like that. And I think that could be the bet in this game.
That's the main bet for this action between Bournemouth and Manchester United.
I think so. And I expect Manchester United just to edge it. So I'll go with Manchester United to win and both teams to score. I think we'll get both teams scoring in this game. 12-5 it is for Manchester United to win and both teams to score. But those stats compelling for the second half to be the highest scoring in this game.
Manchester United, the odds-on favourites as they take on Bournemouth. But Dave Kowner thinks that we may only see a narrow win for the Manchester side on their travels on Wednesday. As we move on now to Thursday's matches. There's two games coming up on Thursday, a double dose of Premier League action. And the first of those two sees Burnley welcome Chelsea. Burnley aside, who have very much rediscovered their form. Well, they were in great form at the beginning of the season. Then they lost it, and now they've found it again. They'll be hoping to continue that against Chelsea. They are 100-30 to win this match. The draw is 12-5. Chelsea 19-20. We've got a couple of enhanced odds on this one. Chris Wood to score and Burnley to win was 9-2, but enhanced to 5-1. And Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win. That was 21-10. It's been enhanced to 9-4. So, suddenly, Dave, I think Chelsea have realised that Spurs might be a little bit beyond reach for position, but they're still going to want to play well against teams like Burnley, who yeah, have been the surprise package, you might say, this season.
Oh, definitely. I think Sean Dyche has done an absolutely incredible job. He's in contention for Manager of the Year, as far as I'm concerned. Burnley coming to this having won their last five Premier League games. Chelsea, on the other hand, have lost five of their last nine. And I think it was more down to the deficiencies of Southampton rather than the magic of Antonio Conte that turned that game around against Southampton at St Mary's on Saturday afternoon. 2-0 down in that game, won the game 3-2. That's something that's plagued Mark Hughes and his sides this season, be it Stoke or Southampton, their inability to defend leads and defend in the 90 minutes, in fact, because they've conceded so many goals, Southampton, this season, and under Mark Hughes, that's not changed. I love the tweet from journalist Adam Bates, saying that the claim that Mark Hughes has never been relegated reminds me of the line about the doddering driver who has never had a car accident but has seen a few in the rearview mirror. And that's what it's like with Hughes. Hughes could easily get two teams relegated this season. Stoke are going down. It looks like Stoke are going down. It looks like Southampton are going to succumb to the drop as well. So I think that Chelsea's comeback owed more to Mark Hughes than it did to Chelsea and their quality at the weekend, even though Olivier Giroud may be in line for a starting place ahead of Alvaro Morata in this game, given he was the hero at the weekend. But for Burnley to have won their last five games without anything like the budget of the top teams, and they are an unlikely Southampton FA Cup win away from securing European football as well for the first time in 50 years. And the thing that I love about Sean Dyche more than anything is that he does an incredible job of keeping his club grounded. Mm. They're moving forward, but without those delusions of grandeur. I think he embodies what the club is all about. He said that there have been tough times in these parts, both at the club and the area generally, and it's bringing a smile to a lot of faces, their performances. And it's a very important thing. In this area, the people back the club and the club backs the town. So he's got that... They've got that us against the world mentality running through the club at Burnley. And you can't be anything other than impressed about the job that he's done. And that they're too big in the betting here, aren't they? 100-30.
That's what I was quite surprised when I saw that, I must say.
Yeah, I think they won this reverse fixture on the opening weekend. That was their first ever win against Chelsea in the top flight since August 1973. And I think that performance set the tone for the season for Burnley. And they're too big at 100-30 to win this game. I think that is a fantastic value bet for this match. And if you want to be slightly more conservative, I suppose you'd go Burnley plus one at a shade of odds on at 5-6. So Burnley all the draw in the game. Chelsea know they are not going to finish in that top four now. I think that's almost a certainty, given they are 7 points behind Spurs going into this set of fixtures. So I don't see what Chelsea have got to play for. Antonio Conte knows he's on the way out. Burnley are too big.
Nice and simple, Dave.
Yeah, it is nice and simple.
Well, potential goal scorers, anything along those lines?
Well, I think Olivier Giroud, I think it's difficult with Burnley because Chris Wood's the most likely. He's 6-4 to score any time. Sam Vokes got a brace in the reverse fixture, but he might not start in the game. He's 21-10 to score any time in the match. Eden Hazard has talked about him being just below the level of Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo because they, even though he can produce moments of magic in sporadic bursts, they are consistent in their goal scoring and their performances. Hazard's got to add that dimension to his game. He's 7-5 to score any time. I do think Olivier Giroud will get the nod here, but I always believe Giroud is much better off coming off the bench, and I think he's an impact sub and doesn't perform with the same sort of quality when he is on the pitch from the outset. So I'd be steering clear of Giroud at 6-5, but no real steer on the goal scorers.
So the short answer to the question, any goal scorers is no. Right.
Yeah.
Really. Anything else on Burnley against Chelsea before we move on?
No, that's it. I think Burnley, in these midweek set of fixtures, are the team that are the most overpriced.
Okay, so we move on to the other game, coming up on Thursday, as Leicester host Southampton. And just taking a quick look at the betting for this one, Leicester are 5-4, the draw 12-5, and Southampton are 23-10 at time of recording to win this game. Enhanced odds, Jamie Vardy to score in a Leicester win was 21-10, but enhanced to 9-4. Or the other way, Charlie Austin to score and Southampton to win was 7-2, and that's been enhanced to 4-1. And this is a game, Dave, where Southampton could really do with the win if they're going to be looking to cling on into the Premier League. But Leicester find themselves 8th place in the table. They've lost 2 on the bounce, but they're going okay.
They are going okay. I think that's... Leicester have just got nothing to play for. That's the problem, because they are not going to overhaul Burnley in 7th spot now. And they took too long to make the managerial change earlier on in the season. Craig Shakespeare, not the man for the job. I think Claude Puel definitely is the man for the job. This is going to be Leicester's last season with Riyad Mahrez, so they're going to have to use the money they get for him wisely in the summer and try and... there's going to be a small rebuilding process for Leicester City in the summer. I expect this to be very, very entertaining, because Leicester will be freewheeling here. Southampton need the points desperately. The result on Monday night, we're recording this before Monday's match, might have a bearing on how Southampton go and approach this game, because as things stand, they're 5 points behind Swansea with 5 games left. And they play Swansea as well in the penultimate game of the season. They still have the fixtures to dig themselves out of trouble, but that now is highly unlikely following that result against Chelsea. If they'd have got 3 points there, which they look like doing, I mean, Chelsea scored 3 in an 8-minute period in that match, and Southampton completely capitulated. And Mark Hughes is to blame for that, as far as I'm concerned. He's like a mini Mourinho in his approach. He never admits fault.
It's more Mark Hughes bashing.
Yeah, there's a bit more Mark Hughes bashing. But he said after that game, when asked if they had the leaders capable of providing that cynical edge, just breaking the game up when it was needed against Chelsea, when they hit their stride and got in their flow, he said, "I'm starting to learn what leaders and what kind of leadership group I have got within the club. I have got good characters. I have got strong characters. Maybe the starting lineup needs more of those. Clearly, I'm getting to understand who are the guys that are going to help us and who are not willing to put their bodies on the line." That's his job. Maybe the starting lineup needs more of those. That's his job, is to pick the team. And how about Mark Hughes changing something tactically to stem the flow as well? It's not just down to the players that they completely capitulated in that 8-minute period. It's not just down to the leadership. It's about the lack of a coherent plan to stem the flow, as far as I'm concerned. Leicester won the reverse fixture as well back in December by 4-1. I see goals in this game. I think both teams will certainly score in the match. And I like the look. I can't trust Southampton, basically. I love the look of Leicester to win this game and both teams to score at 100-30. I don't think Southampton are strong enough defensively to keep tabs on Jamie Vardy and Riyad Mahrez. So Leicester to win and both teams to score at 100-30 would be my pick in this game.
If you don't think they can keep tabs on Jamie Vardy, Dave, how about those enhanced odds as well? Jamie Vardy scored Leicester to win, 9-4.
That's nice.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's a good bet, I think. I think Riyad Mahrez will be more influential than he was at the weekend as well. 2-1 Riyad Mahrez to score. He's going to perform in these last 5 games with the look for that summer move.
Yeah.
So this is big for Mahrez, I think, these last 5 matches. Has played much better since Christmas as well, Mahrez. So 2-1 for him to score any time is not a bet that I would put anyone off.
But the main selection in this is Leicester to win, both teams to score.
Absolutely.
100-30. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Leicester against Southampton is the final of the 4 midweek Premier League games taking place this week. And hopefully we've picked you out a few winning bets there. And be back, of course, on the Weekend Pump for a look at all the weekend's action. Dave Cowler, thanks for joining us on this midweek edition.
Thank you, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.